You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Marcellus Wiley, our NFL analyst, in about a half an hour. Big news in the NFL today. Ben Roethlisberger done for the year.
And people are going to say, you know what, you were out of shape. That's why your arm, what was it, elbow? Or
he had Tommy John.
I'm drawing a blank. Drew Brees.
Well, Drew Brees was like, just a fluke.
Ligament, they said 6 weeks minimum surgery.
Yep.
Like, but I know, when you're not ripped, they'll say,
well,
you...
I think if Roethlisberger, you know, it was a groin or a hammy or something like that, but I don't know how you blow your elbow out. Like, I do. He's throwing a ball just like throwing a baseball, but he's, how many times has he thrown a football? And for whatever reason, it just popped on him, and he had Tommy John, and he's done. And
it's unfortunate.
It makes you wonder if he's going to return, if he can return for next season. We know this year is done. Pittsburgh's 0-2. It's over. Like, I think, I got to believe they're finished. The Saints are in a different situation, but they just keep complaining about the officiating.
Well, I mean,
they got burned yesterday.
I want to ask Marcellus.
They're getting
jobbed.
Steelers,
Saints, either of them make the playoffs?
I think the Saints have a shot with Teddy Bridgewater and a weak division.
And Pitt's done.
I think Pitt at 0-2, like, now they're two games behind Baltimore already.
But, I mean,
if Cleveland wins tonight,
but the Bills,
I don't think they're getting in. Bills are 2-0.
Like, that's a thing. Is it are the Bills?
They got a shot.
I was just going to say, do they have a chance this year?
The only teams I can guarantee you are making the playoffs are New England and Kansas City.
Right.
I can guarantee it today without question. And these injuries to these two guys only glorify the greatness of Brady. Where
LA Rams are getting in. Sorry.
Yeah, but that's in the NFC. And I think they're getting in. I'm not 100% guaranteed. I think they're getting in.
It's not the lock of the century for you.
Yes, but in the AFC, like, Baltimore's 2-0, but they've beaten Miami and Arizona.
Right.
You know, get back to me when they play real quality teams. But Kansas City, they just rolled into Oakland and just said, get the hell out of here.
Mahomes,
Baltimore's playing Kansas City next week. That's going to be a big game. But New England, and albeit they haven't played, you know, these world beaters either.
I got to tell you, like, when I moved to Hartford and my billet dad said, you got to watch the Pats, you're a Pats guy now. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. They just win every week. It's just like they're going to the Super Bowl. They win Super Bowls. Like,
did you look at it differently when Brown caught the TD? Like, he looks like he's got no worries in the world on the field.
He's got
some worries.
He should. There's a new Sports Illustrated piece out
that's
starting to unearth a lot of different details about this guy.
And who
life.
Knows how that's going to be handled. Roger Goodell might just say to him, you know what, you're bad for business and we don't need you around here anymore.
But
I can't imagine it's far off from that.
The Pats would be fine.
It can't be.
The Pats would be fine without him.
Yeah.
But they would, I mean, that's a hole there.
They brought him in because they need him.
Yeah.
Like, there was something that Belichick or Brady, maybe both, they sat down and said, okay, Gronk, I don't know if he's coming back.
Right.
And Josh Gordon, again, is a wild card based on his history. Look at what Kansas City keeps doing, man. Like, Mahomes is going to do it again. Yeah. Mahomes is going to do it again. 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. They're going to go 13-3, and they're going to be waiting at home for New England, more than likely.
He's a gunner. Like, he can throw the ball.
He's spectacular, but he's one of those young guys. Like, he's had a great start to the season, which was expected. Lamar Jackson's been great. Josh Allen, you know, has been pretty good. Numerous young quarterbacks who are making an impact, yet the king remains on his crown in New England, or on his throne
now,
in New England.
Miami, like, because kind of, we knew it was like a throwaway
game. Miami's brutal.
But they were playing a minor league football team, technically.
43-0.
They
tough.
Are 20.5 road dogs in Dallas next week. 20.5. And I'll bet you by kickoff, it's like 24.5. Because that is a massive number for the NFL, massive number for week three. But if I had to put money on Dallas or Miami at 20.5 points, I would bet Dallas. I think at this point they're going to win by 35 next week.
Yeah.
So
that's not good.
We'll get into that.
Didn't hear any comments about players asking for trades yesterday, too. Or today, I guess.
Not today. So they've gotten through a day free of trade demands.
Right.
But they're not far off in Miami. I think the whole anyone that can get out, you're going to try to get out. But
they just need to bring that assistant coach back and just let him run the show.
He got hired. Where did he get hired again?
The guy with the coke and the prostitute and all that? Or
allegedly. I don't know if she was that was her exact title. But
she was a dancer, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I don't want to misspeak.
I don't know exactly what her job title was, but she was from Vegas and...
In the entertainment.
In the entertainment industry. She was in the entertainment industry.
He got hired?
He got rehired.
By who? He's in the NFL again. Find out. Where is this guy?
He's in, I want to say, the Chargers or Seattle or something. I think he's on the West Coast.
It's like a one-year thing, and it's like now all of a sudden he's resurfaced.
He's closer to Vegas than he was 2 years ago.
That guy doesn't need to find Vegas for trouble.
He better not be working for Oakland. Imagine that's what he did. It's like, here, let me get in here because in a year I'm going to be back where I started.
Is that real? That somebody sent that to us on our Twitter account. The Mark Davis.
Mark Davis.
Like riding like in row 12 of like Spirit Airlines or something. Like, is this guy for real?
I wouldn't put it past him.
He's a multi-billionaire. He doesn't have a private plane.
I don't know if he is a billionaire.
He's
because
not?
I mean, technically he would be because if you
on
want
paper.
An NFL team, it's worth that. But I don't know if he does anything else. The Davis family, I don't know if they're in the oil industry.
Right. That's maybe their main source. But do they not have any money? Like, this guy, he acts like he's the three of us.
Basically,
going to work.
Yeah, he's just a grit grinder. I
respect that.
So
but at
I.
some point, do you want to enjoy your life if you do have a platform like that?
I guess he just doesn't care to flaunt it.
Fair enough. Like there are some very modest people that are quite
well.
Well,
didn't you say that he goes to P.F. Chang's every day?
And he drives a minivan.
That's the story. Like, that story has been written. I'm not making this up. This guy hangs out at P.F. Chang's every single day. Drives his minivan. He's got a flip phone, like a Nokia flip phone. Yeah. He flies coach. He's an owner. Right. One of 32 NFL owners.
Says he's worth $250 million.
That's not NFL ownership money. That's a ton of money.
No, but that you're right. That is
but
at the bottom. That's probably the bottom of the spectrum.
Like when you look at the owners, like Robert Kraft is worth $4 billion. Jerry Jones is worth $5 or $6 billion.
Oh, I mean.
He's got to be.
Yeah, that's not big-time NFL owner money.
No. Terry Pegula's got $3 billion.
Yeah, or more.
You
and
know?
His companies were, like, you're right.
$250 million. It's a lot of money.
But, like, Alex
but
Rodriguez
not,
has more money.
Imagine thinking that's
A-Rod right. and Tiger and all those guys.
I know.
It is. It's
when you're in an orbit that is just abnormal. When that's small money, that's like just penny. That's change for the billionaires.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is. That's chump change.
$250 million. I would have figured he was worth more than that.
Well, I just Googled it, and it says celebrity net worth. Now, that if it says that him and his mother, Carol, own 47% of the Raiders, like, that's got to be worth more than that on paper.
Yeah, I would think so, for sure. I mean, the Raiders...
Or maybe his mom has the bigger...
Although, I guess technically right now they don't own a stadium, although they're building one in Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, you do hear stories of, like, Warren Buffett is famous for it. He's lived in the same house for, like, 40 years.
What I want to know as far as ownership is, does the guy in Golden State, does he get to go back and just be the owner again and sit on the sidelines, or is he, like, not allowed in that?
The guy with Lowry?
Yeah.
He was banned for a year.
The guy owns the team. He's a part owner of the team.
He owns, like, 1%. He's got a piece of paper that claims he's an owner. But... He was
it's
banned
more than 1%.
No, I'm telling you, it was like a 1% ownership.
But he's still worth. But
he was worth more than $1 billion.
Yeah, he's worth a couple billion.
He's a Silicon Valley billionaire.
He,
but are they going to just push that aside and say, "All right, just
honestly,
don't be stupid"?
No, he will.
It wouldn't shock me because who's going to know who he is? I wouldn't know who.
No
he was.
Kidding.
If he walked in
no,
this
no, no.
studio, I wouldn't know
you
who he
know
was.
You know, there are people out there, the social justice warriors. And
no
if
way.
This guy shows
no
up,
way, Jamie.
I'm
no
telling you right
say,
now, if he shows up at a
you
game.
You push Kyle Lowry, you'll never come.
No, no, no.
I can't believe he didn't pull the King Daddy Topper and say, actually, you're not doing anything. I'm the owner. Like, if I was an owner of a team, I would sneak back in the building and just sit in somebody's box.
Yeah, it was a PR stunt.
Yes. A lot of it was, we have to put forth the front. The players aren't happy.
Right.
You shouldn't be doing this anyway, and you should definitely not do it if you're an owner.
Right.
There's no question about that.
And I think at that particular time, there was rumblings of certain players in a lot of pro sports leagues that were not happy with the term owner.
Specifically that league, the NBA. I'm not sure they used the term. Now, like in the media,
I know, but what other term are you going to use? Like
executive? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It seems
like if you own the team, you own like who owns?
Yeah, you own the team.
Yeah, I know. It's like there's
someone owns companies, and I don't know.
It goes a lot deeper than you know us. You know,
well, it's racially
exactly
obviously. There's a lot of that factors in.
I just don't understand what other terminology you could use to describe.
There is an alternate term.
Luckily for us, we don't have to worry about it. We don't own anything.
Right.
But if it's starting in the NBA, I'm sure it'll eventually get to a point where
people just need, you know, if people are upset about that language, they're going to find alternate language that makes everything.
I don't see why you would be upset. I mean, it's language.
I get it, but
that's not our
you're
fight.
You're trying to curb people's thought process. So you respect it and move on. I found another article saying he's worth $500 million and still uses a 2003 Nokia phone and drives a minivan.
Yeah, that's him.
But that was an article from 2017. So I don't know. This guy, he has money.
Mark
what I'm
Davis
saying
has money.
Is, you know, spend the 20 grand for a charter for yourself.
No, I respect that he's just an everyday kind of blue-collar owner of an NFL team.
But it just, at what point, you can't stuff it in a coffin and take it with you.
You don't take a U-Haul to the funeral home.
Did we hear whether or not Tavares and Marner chartered a flight out to Newfoundland? Did they get out
there? That's probably the MLSC plane.
I don't know.
No.
Not after a battle, and I don't think so.
No way.
If you're the owner, you're not like, here's the plane.
They were on an Air Canada flight.
No,
and
no. I'm telling you. John Tavares deserved it. He probably chartered himself. And I'll guarantee you he chartered it himself. The guy makes $11 million a year.
Well, so does Marner.
Well, he hasn't been paid yet. He gets, you know, at the execution of the contract. I'm sure they chartered a plane themselves. John just had a child. Like, guys always...
Hey, I made $11 million a year, I'm chartering everywhere. If they didn't, they're missing out. But I guarantee you, they were on an Air Canada flight.
No,
it wasn't the MLSC jet.
No,
they're not sending.
You're
that
setting
back
a standard then, where
who knows?
Somebody will text us.
Somebody
and
will
let
know.
Us know how. They
I don't.
Got
I don't. I don't track. Like, do you remember when Babcock like flew and a jet went in and picked up Babcock from
here.
People
the,
were tracking.
They
like,
had the flight number cooking. They're like, oh, a flight just left Detroit.
I think it was Maple Leaf Hot Stove was tracking it and gave live updates.
Well, this doesn't matter that much. That was crazy, but people were excited that maybe Babcock was coming here. Just like Kawhi. The same thing with Kawhi.
Well,
they sent the jet
landed?
For Kawhi.
Remember when he landed and then the SUVs were going, was it Yorkville or whatever?
Yeah, he went right down to Hazleton Lanes.
Yeah, and then... Like, that was live on CP24. Like, people were tracking
But it was
that.
The biggest story in the city that he had flown in. Like, what was he... I still don't know why he came up here.
He probably flew in to tell them no to their face.
I didn't get that impression. I mean, because he was here for 2 or 3 days. They knew when he was flying back, he was done. They didn't need to hear the text. Like, when he got back on the flight and was like, all right, see you guys, they knew he's not coming back at that point. But
I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
I still don't understand why he flew up.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
I was in Mexico and people were like,
just ghost
saying there was a helicopter following.
It was
on the Gardner.
Oh, it was a full. Yeah, I think it was the 427.
It reminded me of the OJ chase because it was, you know, OJ was driving so slow on the highway. There was a helicopter above him. Like, there's Kawhi. I'm like, okay, there he is. And I was sure that he was going to sign. Why would you get on a plane and fly up here?
It's the biggest troll job in the history of trolling.
I was 100% sure. I'm like, this guy, why would you fly up here?
I wasn't in the country. What did he do? Did he just go into Air Canada Center and then like...
No, they met at a hotel in Yorkville.
Yeah. I think it was the Hazleton Hotel.
And it got tipped off because someone that worked down there saw Masai and Bobby Webster walk in like a couple hours before or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Kawhi's here. These guys are here. Clearly, this is where he's coming.
And a crowd ensued. Like
people were waiting for him. It was wild.
It was
Kawhi
actually...
Watch. It was outstanding. I loved it.
What day was that?
I love
it. I don't
it would have been
the actual...
early July. It was July
like third or fourth or
something. Yeah, second, third, fourth, because he ended up signing on the sixth, I believe.
I want to say it was on the fourth because I think I traveled that day and I was like sitting in an airport like watching.
Well, that was a big thing. Why, as an American, would he come up here for the July 4th? Clearly, he's coming up here because he's about to become a Canadian.
It
still
is.
That was a strong no guy.
Yeah.
But, hey, listen, Kawhi's in the past. Mitch Marner, regardless of how you feel about the contract, and it's tough to find anyone that thinks it's a team-friendly deal. It's not.
The kid got paid.
He got paid. If you're Kyle Dubas, you have to be praying these other RFAs get monster deals.
Yes.
Like, honestly, though, like his reputation is going to take a beating. Well, not in Toronto, necessarily, throughout the league. If Mikko Rantanen signs tomorrow, 8 years, $9 million.
Yeah.
I don't know how Dubas can possibly...
Excuse me, if I'm Mikko Rantanen's agent, I'm saying that Marner deal, I want the same one!
I hear you, but here, let me put this into perspective for you.
If I'm Braden Point, I'm going to say I'm a better player than Mitch Marner.
But they're not going to get
so he got 10 or whatever it is. I want a million more than that.
Boy,
but Tampa's going to say that's not in our structure.
And I think they're more confident that they're going to get the deal that makes more sense for them. Like the Leafs, it has become evident there's some insecurities there. They obviously have been through some tough, you know, negotiations, to say it lightly.
Like that kid in Calgary, why does he deserve 1 cent less than Mitch Marner?
Matthew Tkachuk?
Yeah.
Different player.
Different, but I love him the same way.
Well,
Guy scores 35 goals a year. He hits, he fights, he plays hard.
But do you ever see Matthew Tkachuk as a 95 to 100 point guy? I think people view Mitch as that, potentially.
Well, he hit it 94 last year.
So, but that even you read Myrtle's article, like he had 69 the year before. So is 94 the new norm, or is it closer? Like, say he gets 78 next year. Is that a terrible year? Or not?
Like, I'll just say this. Don't you think the rest of the guys that are left, they're going to look at that and say, oh, what, Mitch Marner's $5 million better than me?
Of course
no
not.
No way.
No, there's no excuse. If everything is equal, Rantanen, Marner, Point, they should probably get about the same.
Yeah.
You can pick who you like more than the other, but it's not like one's way up here and the other one's way down there.
Right.
You know, Laine's looking at it saying, okay, yeah, I had a bit of a down year, but I can still score 50.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to get paid. Kachuk's looking to get paid.
Like, why would Patrick Laine want 1 cent less?
Well, if you're Dubas, you better hope that that's exactly what he gets.
I don't think
by the way,
will.
What is he care? What, like, it's his
because
job. He runs the Toronto Maple Leafs. What does he care that a GM's going to say, oh, you kind of jam me up
no,
a bit.
It's not about a
screw
GM.
Screw that. He is operating under what he can do for business.
And I'm sure he's happy that the job is done.
Yeah.
And he should
and if
be
they lose
happy.
Again this year in the first round of the playoffs, we can sit on our show and say, you know what?
Yeah,
what are you doing here?
You know that people, I'm going to have a reaction. If Mikko Rantanen, again, signs like 6 years at 8.5, what's the explanation? Yeah. What is it?
Well,
there's no explanation.
No, there isn't.
There isn't.
But let's,
no explanation for it.
I don't know if you saw Konechny sign for 5.5 today.
Yeah, no, 6 years, 5.5.
Yeah, like maybe viewed as a little bit farther down on that list. But if you actually look at his like even strength goals and stuff, like this kid is on his way up.
He's a good player.
He's a very good player. But it's a value contract for Philly. He's going to obviously get an expanded role.
McAvoy, too.
But there's an example of a team that has a ton of confidence and a ton of self-esteem to the point where Charlie McAvoy signed today, 3 years, $4.9 million. This is how petty the Bruins are.
Yeah.
Oh, Zach Werenski got five? We'll give you 4.9. They couldn't just give him five to say we'll give you the exact same deal.
Deal?
That's how confident that city is and that organization is. And McAvoy told them from day one, I don't want offer sheets. I'm not going anywhere. I love being a Bruin. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
Let me know what's up.
Yeah.
3 years, 4.9. Like, if I'm McAvoy, I'm like, how about five and even five like Werenski? No.
Well,
and guess what he did?
No,
all right,
no,
where
what
do
about
I sign?
What about this? How about the same deal
exactly.
as Werenski?
Well, and guess and they got the stones in Boston to say, no, we actually had you at 4.9, so take it or leave it.
Well, but they,
and guess what he did? He signed it.
You're right. But they did give him, did I not read that he got a little bit higher than Werenski in the third year?
Maybe.
7.15 or
ultimately,
something.
It doesn't matter. The point is the cap is 4.9.
And Boston's up against the cap, though. So they may have said, this is all we can give you if you want a three-year deal. Like, I get it. Right now, the Leafs, I think we're bitching about, they're cap compliant. We started the show saying
no,
they're cap
I know that,
compliant.
And taking yourself out of overpaying depth guys or older guys isn't the worst thing in the world.
You're paying your
star
players.
You're paying the right players, yes. And that's they can justify that.
I can.
Eventually, losing good players because you overpaid, that can cause you problems.
That's a challenge, but I think more.
And that's going to happen more.
Well, your head is going to explode if Rantanen signs 8 years at nine tomorrow.
Absolutely, I will.
Right.
Because there's no explanation for it. There isn't, well, though. He's a better player or the same player as
Mitch Marner. Well, there's caps for the league, and then there's caps for different
teams.
That's
what I'm saying.
Colorado might say to him, you know what? I don't really care what Mitch Marner makes. We don't have we can't pay you that, and we're not.
But they're looking at...
But the Leafs could have done the same thing.
They got the second best player. If arguably, Colorado can go... That guy over there, Nathan MacKinnon, is arguably, would he be arguably the second best player in the league?
Yes,
that's where I
top
had him.
Five.
I had him at two.
Okay, I think I had him at
three.
I had him at three behind Crosby.
Yeah.
But he's at six, just under seven, I believe, 6'5". Like that's.
I understand that. We've talked about that.
We're going to yell and scream about it, but let's not focus. They're cap compliant. Move on. They'll be able to move deck chairs around and get everyone paid. Like that's what their job is. That's what Brandon Pridham and Kyle Dubas, and they get paid to get things done. Yeah, they got it done. You may not love everything on the surface, but ultimately, you know what they didn't do? I thought Steph and I were dying laughing last night. I don't know if you saw Kyle's presser in Newfoundland. First question, I think it was from a reporter from like Yahoo or something. She goes, what took so long? Do you see the look on his face? I don't know if you saw it. He's like, what? Took so long? We missed one day? Like, it was almost like he was shocked that she asked that question. I thought it was hilarious because she was like, what took so long? The negotiations.
I don't have a problem with that question.
He looked at Mitch and was like, what? Like, we got it done.
He's playing coy. He also came out the day after last season and said, we want this done before the draft.
You're right.
So don't play coy. Don't pretend like that's a ridiculous. I understand.
I
get
funny.
It. But he's, Kyle's smarter than that.
Yeah.
Kyle wanted this done 3 months ago. Like, he can't pretend like, we've only missed 2 days. He wanted it done 3 months ago.
Well, they're lucky they only missed 2 days. That's the thing. Like, ultimately, I'm sure it was a hard negotiation, but this kid's not missing anything. He's playing tomorrow.
Oh, he'll be fine. Yeah.
Like,
he'll be fine.
That's the thing that has to be focused on is he's playing hockey. He's not missed anything.
Yeah,
and
no, their money is slotted in the right players.
Exactly.
Like it might be obviously slightly overpayment here or there, but I'd much prefer to be paying Marner, Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, yeah. Riley, Anderson.
The only problem we're ever going to have with it is if they lose in the first round again, and we're going to say,
all right,
good job giving this group of guys all that money because they can't get out of the first round.
But that's you get judged on your salary regardless of what it is. We do that all the time.
And I don't think this will ever be considered a bargain. I think it could be considered good value.
Right.
But a bargain, that's probably not going to
happen. It's not a bargain.
The only guy who can maybe give you bargain is Nylander. As crazy as it sounds.
But what could he get that would look like a bargain?
Well,
if he gets 60 points.
In 4 years, let's say he scores 35 and 70, it's a huge bargain.
Yeah.
Like he's got 5 years left on the deal at 6'9".
Yeah.
6 years at almost 11, I don't think we're going to get there in a cap world or other players being paid where you say, wow, they're only paying this guy.
11.
Yeah, like he's
14.
Marner, Matthews, they're not going to be today's Shifley, MacKinnon,
right.
Barkov.
No,
or like,
not
look
even
it.
Close.
It's just, it can't happen.
But to me, Nylander's looks like a bargain if he gets 80 points, not 60, because that's what Nikolaj Ehlers and all those guys.
But I'm not saying this year. I'm saying in 4 years.
Correct.
When, like, guys that are putting up 50 points are getting paid 7.5.
Right, with the inflation.
Exactly, because it keeps going up. You might. I could see us. I think we will be in a position where
looks different.
Got 70 points at 6.9, but at 10.9, at 11.6, I don't think you can get there.
Right. It does.
Unless you blow the doors off it with cups and all that, then the money doesn't even matter in the end.
Exactly.
Marcellus Wiley will join us. Will we see Ben Roethlisberger on the field again? Can the Saints survive 6 weeks without Drew Brees? And who wins tonight, Cleveland or the Jets? That and more with Marcellus Wiley next. All right, Marcellus Wiley coming up in just a moment, our NFL analyst. Ben Roethlisberger has sent out a statement. He is done for the year. He's having Tommy John surgery. And he said, I intend on coming back next year better than ever.
Good.
I think that's that, ambitious. Don't I don't know how you can be better than ever after Tommy John late in your 30s, but...
Well, he could maybe call Matty Nichol and work out.
Yeah, he could do that. I mean, he's going to work out, but this is tough, man. You get late into your career, and you shut it down for almost a calendar year.
That's where everybody says, like, you can get away with it, like, you're 21, 22. You ever get to around 28, 29, 30...
Well, the body's
different. You want to cheat the system, that's where it's going to catch up to
you. Yeah, the body's different at that point. Like you, I mean, I'm old, but I just know I can't do anything physically that I used to be able to do at a high level. Like
I don't think Phil Kessel likes to work out that much. I just don't think that's it. He's kind of like Ben Roethlisberger. He likes to show up and plays amazing, and he's really good. But sooner or later, he's going to wheel into a camp one year, and it's going to be like... It's caught up to me.
Well, it's funny.
It's not right now. It wasn't last year.
Maybe later in his career. It may be near the end. But when it goes down, like, it'll just go down.
Oh, that'll be the wheels will fall off.
Yeah.
And Phil got two cups in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And Roethlisberger has two Super Bowls in Pittsburgh. And that's the truth. Is he's going to be sitting there in, let's say, 3 months or whatever. And someone's going to go to him and say, all right, let's get back into the gym. And you know what's going to pop into his mind. I already have two rings. I'm already going to the Hall of Fame. Probably going to have my number retired. I've got $100 million cash in the bank. Am I going to the gym right now? When I'm not playing for another 8 months.
Well, that's what separates the great. Like
I think he will.
Like Tom Brady.
Brady's not human.
That's right.
You can't use Brady. Brady's not a human being. I don't know what he is, but he's not from this universe.
Yeah. Get our next guest in here. I have one question for him.
Only one, and then the mic
well,
is
I
off?
Well, I have two.
All right, here's our buddy Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer from FS1. All right, go ahead. Marcellus is on the line.
Marcellus, if you needed a quarterback in the next 5 years for your team, Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff, who are you taking? Answer it properly.
We've already
now.
Done
no,
this.
No, no.
We already did that question.
Okay, I want to revisit it and answer the question properly now. Is your answer the same?
I mean, it's just your style. Like, I like Jared Goff slightly more, but Baker Mayfield has that X factor, those intangibles that could be a higher ceiling but also a lower floor. My money, if I had to just go out there and line up, I'm taking Jared Goff. He's just a safer bet.
Well, we'll see what Baker does tonight. We'll revisit again every single week of the season.
Exactly. He goes for 500 yards tonight. I'm changing my answer.
Right, exactly.
Marcellus, so the two teams that their quarterbacks have injuries, Roethlisberger and Breeze, both those teams, either one of them make the playoffs?
Woo! Pittsburgh, certainly, I would bet against them. I don't see that happening. Breeze, I think that they go 500 under Teddy Bridgewater. They got an opportunity against Jacksonville, the Bucks before we get to see Drew Brees come back. So I think a week of practice as the first team starter is going to do Teddy Bridgewater a lot of good. And just going out there and knowing that you're mentally prepared to be the guy, to be in the game, and I've been there before, second series and then the starter goes down. This is NFC Championship 2.0 and this redemption game against the Rams, that was a lot on the plate. And I almost felt like the players were post-traumatic stressed. Like, everyone collectively looked like they were shell-shocked. Jared Cook couldn't catch any passes anymore, penalties after penalties. They took points off the scoreboard because of a referee blowing the whistle too soon. It was just a collective shell-shocked effort. So I think they recalibrate. It's going to be a tough one on the road up in Seattle, but... Hey, I think this team goes 500. They still got football to play, and they make the playoffs.
Yeah, see, this is my concern for New Orleans. I think they're the poster boys of the woe is me mentality right now. Mm. And, yes, it's justified. The refs, we know what happened in that NFC title game. They got jobbed. The officiating,
that was a garbage call.
It was garbage. And yesterday, that should have been taken back to the house. They should have been up 10-3 and rolling. But they're already blaming the refs. They're blaming the league, and now their quarterback goes down. I think this is going to be a real challenge for Sean Payton to keep their hopes high, to keep optimism in that room, because I think it's a powder keg to begin with. I think that group in New Orleans, they're waiting to come out and say, it's not our fault. It's somebody else's fault.
Hey, there's a lot of ammunition for that belief that you just stated. You know, you got to be water off a duck's back at a time. You go out there last year in the game, and we know that one call shouldn't dictate a game, but it has happened before if you watch these games closely. So now this year it comes back in that open wound. Once again, you get stabbed in the same place. Football is about compartmentalizing. It's about putting things in their proper place and proper priority. And it does seem like this team collectively lacks in that ability. But those are two of the most egregious calls that I have seen. I certainly have seen worse, but that is tough to know that your Super Bowl chances have been lost because of outside error. And then you come back in a game that you're really trying to go out there and restore your roar, and this happens as well. So tough sledding for the Saints, but still a super talented bunch, and I think they pick themselves up and they get themselves in the playoffs.
With Marcellus Wiley here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Lamar Jackson, he did it again over the weekend, just putting up monster numbers, but he did it at Miami and at home against Arizona. Not exactly the 85 Bears and, you know, the early 2000 Baltimore Ravens defenses. That said, I'm not taking anything away from the guy, considering last year he wasn't even really a rookie. He was still fighting for time. Now it's his pocket, it's his huddle, and clearly he's owning it. Are you a believer that this is the real deal with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore?
Yeah, and I was maybe a little early to this belief. Last year, I went to see him play the Chargers. And remember, they played the Chargers twice in like 3 weeks, and they had to see him again in the playoffs and lost. I always knew that Lamar Jackson could play that position. There are times when our minds are wrapped around a package, and we just believe in what we thought in terms of where you were drafted, how you were drafted, and who you were as a prospect. But there are times you need to release those thoughts because the evidence just supports something different. I knew that he could play the position. His skill level is second to none in terms of mobility and also arm talent. The guy is really skilled for that position. And I just saw a guy last year who wasn't comfortable playing in the NFL, playing that position, but had the talent and the abilities to do it. So I've been in his camp supporting him for a while now, and this year, obviously, things are different. Greg Roman's your offensive coordinator calling plays, the same offensive coordinator that had Colin Kaepernick and really helped elevate his status, and also had to witness Kaepernick not necessarily have the same success and how to have a 2.0 version of that offense, and we're seeing the results of that. But I'm a big believer in Lamar Jackson. He looks comfortable. It's his team. He's no longer on a team with a Super Bowl winning quarterback making top dollar in Joe Flacco, which sucks a lot of oxygen and confidence out of the room. It's his team now, and we're starting to see the fruits of that belief and of that labor. So I wouldn't second guess him, and I wouldn't undermine him by saying that his competition hasn't been good enough yet. I think he continues to succeed.
Marcellus, do you watch any parts of the Miami games or any highlights? And it's kind of a strong statement, but do you say that's the worst team I've ever seen in my life? Because it's it's kind of close to that, isn't it? I mean, like
-92 point differential in two home games.
It's a disaster
to start the year in Miami.
Yeah, they have a lot working against them. See, look, I've been on a team before that was 4-12. I was on that team.
I know, but who's worse than that? Like,
it's early, man. It's 2 weeks, but
yeah, okay. It's too early. And even when you have a sorry team, they're not easy to beat. And that's the thing about the league. I don't think that people feel unless they're out there. Like, you still have hell to pay, even if you go out there and win a game like they did, 43-0, and have two pick sixes and Brady looks like Brady. It's still, quote unquote, a war zone. Like, you still got to go through the trenches. You still got to make these plays. But yeah, collectively, they poached the team of all this veteran talent this offseason. We know that they're rebuilding. We know that they're looking forward to the draft next year. And they don't have a quarterback. I mean, that is a recipe for disaster. So they're out there right now looking lowly, but I wouldn't say that they turn these things around. But I have been on an 0-3 team that end up winning 10 games that same year in 1999 with the Buffalo Bills, or 98 with the Buffalo Bills. So I don't see them having that kind of turnaround, but certainly it's too early to say this is the 0-16 Lions or even worse than that. Too early.
How you feeling about your 2-0 Bills?
You know what, man? I'm so desensitized. I've been through so much of the ups and downs that I would never let go of my Bills Mafia card, but I'm going to have a wait-and-see approach, because if you look at it, a lot can happen going forward. They did get to play the two New York teams, so they're the kings of New York. I give them that. But I don't know if this translates to them getting a playoff berth. Buffalo only once since I was a player in the late 90s have they been a playoff team, man. So I'm just take a wait-and-see approach, but Josh Allen looks good. The team looks very well coached. And now they get to go home, and they have five of the next six games in Buffalo. So they got a chance to load it up and really put some hay in the barn. But it's still Buffalo, man. We got to wait and see on our boys.
Yeah, you don't want to jump to any conclusions. They know better than to do that down in Western New York. But we know Miami's awful. And if New York, if the Jets, who are dealing with a lot of problems, you know, if they lose tonight, they're off to an 0-2 start. New England's in a different universe. The Bills aren't talking about them, but we're talking wild card, basically. And the AFC, you know, outside of Kansas City, New England, I think Baltimore's okay. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams chasing those wild card spots. And as for that Jets team tonight, they're at home against Cleveland. No Sam Darnold. We don't know what's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell. The Browns are massive favorites. They've been talking all offseason. They've been talking all week. If Cleveland loses tonight, how are they possibly going to explain that?
You know, it's interesting, man. You know, they wrote the checks. Now they got to cash them. They talked themselves into this position. I would not let talk get me out of that mental place where I think that I have a great team. And it's funny, when if you've ever been through a firestorm, if you've ever been trending on Twitter or people face backlash, it's really not that bad. I laugh when I hear people say, oh, my God, they're killing me, they're crushing me. I'm like, they're just saying stuff that disagrees with you or they don't like you. Like, I understand that we're all human beings and we all want everyone to agree with us and all everyone to support us. But it's kind of narcissistic of us to always think that there's no opposition in this world. So there are words, but it's an application. It's a Twitter. You have work to do. And if you start off 0-2, you still have work to do. I can't lose my mental position in thinking that I have a good team and a very talented team, and there's a lot to do. So if they start off 0-2, I hope they don't get too down on themselves, because all it is going to be people like myself and people on television saying bad things about them, which doesn't make one play and doesn't distract you one bit. So hopefully they can keep their eyes on the prize. I would like to see Cleveland play well. I can't lie. I'm rooting for that team because their mental makeup is different. It's non-traditional. And I would love to see that wild card get into a place of success and challenge the established way, like the Patriots way. We'll see how it plays out. But win or lose, brothers, still got 14 more of these to go. I hope they don't get too down on themselves.
Great stuff as always, Marcellus. Enjoy week 3, buddy. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care, babe.
There's Marcellus Wiley from FS1, a longtime NFLer, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
You know that futures sheet you showed me in Vegas at 8 in the morning when you were having coffee with your tracksuit on?
Yeah.
Would there be a futures bet on Miami going 0-16?
You could find it. I don't know if it would be in that sports book. That was pretty. It was a basic book.
You bet on it? I wouldn't bet on it.
I wouldn't bet on it, but
I would.
Would you put $10, $100, or $1,000 on it? You had to make one bet.
I would put $1,000 on Miami not winning one game this year.
I put 100 just because I think it's enough that you feel.
How do I find that? Like, I don't want to.
You can find it online.
There'd be some. Yeah.
Is there like an app? I don't want to like start gambling a lot, but
yeah, I feel like I have to disengage here.
There
like
is an app. I know my buddy's on an app, but you have to be in Nevada.
I just would feel really weird like putting my credit card on that app.
No. Just.
What do you do? You
just, I don't know what you do for that.
Okay, you know, I know who to call.
I plead the fifth on all of that.
There you know a guy?
I might know a few people.
I know a guy.
Carlo knows a guy.
You know a guy.
I know a
Carlo
guy. I could call my buddy who lives in Nevada. He's on an app.
You can find futures and stuff, but I'm sure you can find that bet. I don't know what it would be going at. Look that up, Grappler. I bet you can find it online somewhere.
Like, what would that
probably
like,
paying a lot of plus money. Let me,
in the break, I'll text my buddy and say, I've got a friend who wants to.
I want to put $1,000 on Miami not winning a game the whole year.
1,000 might be a bit rich. Let's just
say
100.
Let's all just settle
$1,000.
I'll say that's American.
Who cares?
That's a lot of pesos and dollars.
Do you guys back me for doing that?
No,
$1,000 on Miami not winning.
Week two, man. It's week two. We just heard what Marcellus said. It's week two.
Yeah.
It's a battle out there. You get a bad weather game.
You guys aren't my boss. You're not the
boss.
You
can do whatever you want.
Okay. You do what you
want. How do I get that bet? I want $1,000 that Miami will not win one more game.
All right. He'll text and you guys can work it out. Noodles will take
Carlo, text me.
Bob McKenzie, Bobby Mack is back doing the rounds. He's coming up at 6:25. So Bob McKenzie will be on the show later this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider at 6:25. Bob's first time on since last June, I guess. Off in July and August and the early parts of September, but Bobby Mack making the rounds. So he's coming up at 6:25. Monday nighter tonight, Jets, Browns. The Browns are -7 favorites on the road tonight.
I love it.
You're on Cleveland.
All eyes are on it. I think Cleveland's going to win.
I would prefer they win. They're more interesting. The Jets, with Sam Darnold out with mono now, there's nothing interesting about them. Cleveland is an interesting team. They're an interesting story. I'd prefer
New York.
Think
the watch will be out?
Like, I'm not a gambler.
Yeah,
like, I don't really know about gambling. Can you just explain that text to me, what that means.
Well, read that's it. The other way around. I can get you the Pats 16-0 for +1,500.
So what does that mean? I got to.
If you put down +1,500, if you put down $100, you win $1,500. But it's like Mark tweeting in, John tweeting in. I guess recently the Dolphins going 0-16 were going off at odds of 30-1, and someone bet $3,400. There was some article down in the New York Post. Someone down there put 3,400 down at 30-1. Anyway,
I want that action, man. They're not winning a game, and they don't want to win a game. And
do you
want to? I want that action.
Be careful, man.
You want me to read what my buddy wrote back?
Yeah,
definitely. I'll be there this weekend and track it down. Those guys have too much pride to let that happen. And he goes, "The Jets stink too."
They got the Jets at home. They got the Bills at home.
We dealt with it last year. Buffalo was garbage, and they waltzed into Minnesota and beat Minnesota.
Through 2 weeks last year, Buffalo wasn't as bad as this Miami team,
very
but not
similar.
Far off. They
very
were
similar.
Pathetic, and they won games. So.
Do you remember how mad we were watching that game?
Yep.
It was like 17-0 after 5 minutes, and it's like, no way.
Well, that's where you have Jay Peterman. That's where you were upset about Jay Peterman.
That was Josh Allen.
Okay.
It was not Nathan, a.k.a. Jay Peterman. It was Josh Allen doing that work. Bobby Mack coming up in the next hour. We got to talk about the kids in Toronto where, you know, the money comes up, obviously. But the fact is, Matthews is here for 5 more years at least. Marner's here for 6. Vladdy and Bo Bichette, they can't walk for 6 or 7 years. Which duo is going to have a better half decade in terms of individual statistical success? I think the Leafs clearly have a better chance of winning than the Blue Jays right now, just based on where the two teams are.
Yeah.
But would you put money on Vladdy and Bo or Austin and Mitch?
Hmm.
Couple of quality young duos who are going to be here for a long time. So we'll get into that conversation off the top of the hour at 6 p.m., The Leafs are playing their first preseason game tomorrow night in Newfoundland. We have it for you.
5:30 start.
5:30 kickoff.
We're out of here at 5:30 tomorrow because we've got a preseason hockey game. And we got a lot of Leaf games this week. We got the Monday night or tonight on TSN Radio. We're rocking here.
Rocking. Yeah.
So a lot cooking. So we'll get into the Stars, the young Stars in Toronto. Bob McKenzie will join us on the other RFAs who are still unsigned throughout the league. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.